our message outline, such that it is this morning. Set it right next to chapter 2 in Matthew, because we're going to use that. I don't have the actual verse references on there, but you can certainly make notes if you will. And I want to speak this morning on 21st century wise men. You see, we have the first century wise men with us this morning. They're right up on the table. Exact representations of just exactly what they look like. But the Bible speaks of wisdom. When we think of wise men and magi, the Bible speaks of wisdom. But when you look in the pages of Scripture, the Bible also speaks of a wisdom that is no wisdom at all, which is the wisdom of the world. And all around us, we find people so often in the media and other times pontificating about how really wise they are. And I say to you this morning, you may have a PhD, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all that PhD stands for is phenomenal dud, because real wisdom comes from knowing our Lord and Savior. The wisest thing in all of the world, the thing that those three wise men, the Magi, were after, was to know Jesus Christ. So you can be a great entrepreneur, you can be a successful businessman and tycoon, but the Bible says that if you do not have Jesus Christ, the one we celebrate, born in the manger this time of year, then you are not truly wise. So I would open with the question then, who are 21st century wise men? Today, what identifies us as being wise? Well, if you will open to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, this is the reference we have to first century wise men. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse if you just want to follow along in your translation as we go through the chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, these are the wise men. These are the ones we all know. These three in a foreign land in Jerusalem. And in fact, in Jeremiah 4:22, referring to this tribe of Judah and Jerusalem, God said this about him. He says, "That generation was wise to do evil, but to do good they had no knowledge." Doesn't that seem like an indictment of our world still today? It seems like in our modern world, our 21st century world, we as a people seem to try to find new ways every day, every week, every month, to do more evil in more ways, but to do good, it seems like we have less and less knowledge. We have decided in our country that it is better to have not to have prayer in public schools. We have decided it is to do good in our country not to display the Ten Commandments. We have decided it is wiser, it is better in our country not to have any resemblance of symbols that would refer to actually what the real message of Christmas is. Decisions have been made to say it is wise to not do this because we don't want to offend anyone, and yet Scripture would say that is not any wisdom at all. But not only would God say that, listen to this quote from Omar Bradley, one of our great American generals. Listen to this. We are living in a time when our achievement, our knowledge of science has gone far beyond our power to control it. We have too many men of science and too few men of God. We've brought about brilliance without wisdom and power without conscience. We are living in a time of nuclear giants and spiritual pygmies. Wow. So what is real wisdom? What are the marks of 21st century wisdom of wise men? I want to show them to you this morning. So we're going to look at the text, look at your outline there. And you see, number one, that still today, just like back then, wise men still seek the Lord. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. The text says this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Do you know you can determine still today how wise someone is by what they go after, what they pursue, what is the focal point, the focus of their attention, their energy. You can tell what's in their heart. You can tell what's in their head by what is the pursuit of their hands and their feet. What are the motives? What motivates them in this life? What is the driving force? The Apostle Paul referred to this in Philippians 1:21. He said this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He summed up his entire life, everything he was going after, pursuing, what motivated him, what was in his head and his heart. He said, everything I can put in this one sentence, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Can I do that? Can you do that? If we were to sum up our entire life in one sentence this morning, would it be this? If you put anything in that blank besides Jesus, God says, you are not wise. The Bible says that all of my accomplishments, all of my achievements, anything I think that is of worth temporarily on this side of life will be burned up as hay and stubble. Because you see, he says the only way to die, to be able to gain by dying, is to be able to see and live and know Jesus Christ. That is the wise choice. That is wisdom. So number one, 21st century wise men are men, are women, are people who still today seek the Lord. Now think about these wise men for a moment. You guys all know the passage. You notice in the verse it says they came from the east. Probably from an area around Babylon, probably a few hundred miles away, probably having to cross the Syrian desert. Now, you think that through. Even on a camel, this is an incredibly long, arduous trip. But do you realize that for them, it didn't matter the distance. They weren't even sure exactly what they were going or what was going to lie in their way. It didn't matter the distance, it didn't matter the danger, it didn't matter the difficulty. Nothing stopped them from seeking the Lord, because why? They were wise men. What stops me? What stops you from seeking the Lord? Maybe you're a weary traveler who has spent many years seeking the Lord, but you've given up. I've known people like that. Let me tell you something about Herod. Tom referenced it. These wise men come during the reign of King Herod. In fact, they have a conversation with him. You have never met an individual like Herod in the annals of history in your life, trust me. This man is known as the most insanely jealous person, perhaps, that ever walked the face of this earth. He was mad. He was literally crazy. In fact, he was out of control. And he was so jealous and so insecure, he had his own mother murdered, he killed his wife, he killed his own sons, because he didn't want them to usurp, to take his throne, his control. In fact, Augustus Caesar, who was a contemporary of his, fellow ruler, said this about Herod. It's quoted from the annals of history. It was safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son. We are talking about a sick individual. In fact, when Herod was about to die, he was sick. He ordered a number of the most beloved and the most influential people around that area to be arrested. And you say, well, why did he do that? Because he said, when I die, I want you to slay all those people because I want tears to be shed upon my death. Because he wasn't sure it was going to take place otherwise. So when he says to the wise men in this passage, listen, you find out where this baby is because I'd like to come and worship him myself. They knew, I'm sure, he was lying through his teeth. They understood his reputation. But that didn't stop them from seeking the Lord. They went right through what could have been a very dangerous situation. It is not wise still today to let anything for me, for you, to keep us from seeking the Lord. In fact, right to Herod's face, these men says, we've come to seek Jesus. Danger, distance, difficulty, nothing stopped them. They sought the Lord. Look at number two. Wise men will see the Lord. Still today in the 21st century, wise men and women will not only seek the Lord, but they will see the Lord. Look at verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. You see, it is worth seeking him because when you seek him, the Bible says, you will find him. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is talking about us going after him. And so wise men will see the Lord. They searched him out. They followed him in spite of anything and everything until they found him. Could that be said of me? Could that be said of you? That no matter what stands in our way, we will seek him and we will see more and more of him. I want you to notice these three distinct things that led these wise men. These three things in this passage of Matthew chapter 2 that said they depended upon to seek and to see the Lord. You'll see them in the text. First of all, the ministry of the Spirit. Second, the message of Scripture. And third, the miracle of the star. Let's look at them. Verse 2, the ministry of the Spirit. It says this, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, who put that desire in their heart? Why in the first place did they even have this thought, this motivating desire to go through all of this? Who put that desire in their heart to seek out Jesus? God did. You say, well, how do you know that? John 6:44, Jesus said this, no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. When you get to the place when you begin to seek the Lord, and you go after Jesus Christ, and you've got this openness to the things of the message of the gospel, and you may say, I'm really going to get serious about God, or I'm going to make him the pursuit of my life this year. Who puts that desire in your heart? You are not the first one that thought that. You are not the first one that said that, because God places that desire. It is the ministry of the Spirit, Christ's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that brought the wise men to Jesus and still in the 21st century nudge us today. We seek him because he sought us first. But notice not only that, the ministry of the Spirit. Look at verse 5, the message of the Scriptures. In Bethlehem and Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So in Micah 5:2, God had predicted very specifically where Jesus was to be born. So we have not only the ministry of the Spirit that gave the motivating desire for these wise men to seek the Lord, but we have the message of the Scriptures for these wise men to come all the way from this area, probably around Babylon, hundreds of miles, to find him. And not only that, it had been Daniel who stood in Babylon so many years ago and prophesied that the Messiah would come in 483 years. So we have the ministry of the Spirit that urged these wise men on. We have the message of the Scriptures that said when and where he would be born. And thirdly, look at the miracle of the star, verse 2 and verse 9. We have seen his star in the east, verse 2, and then verse 9. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, the only stars that move are the stars that God makes move. And so God can make a star move anywhere he wants. I can remember, I think it was when I lived in Chicago, I went to a show there, the planetarium, that actually proved historically that at that time there was this one star named this that did move. It was great. It was interesting. I enjoyed it. But I've got to tell you, even if somebody hadn't said, yes, this really happened, God can make a star go sideways, go up and down, crazy eights, whatever he wants to do. So God has this star specifically settle and lead them over the place where the child was, literally gave these wise men a light to find Jesus. And may I tell you something this morning? That still today in the 21st century, just how God sent something to guide these men to find Jesus, he sends things to guide us today. He still leads us today. And you say, well, how does he do that? Because when you make that decision in your heart that you want to seek the Lord, that you want to be open to the things of God, God will send a light to lead you to Jesus Christ. And if you are seeking Jesus, God will make a way and make sure that something happens. What will that star be in my life? I don't know. Might be a friend. It might be a family member that speaks to you. It might be a newspaper ad. It might be a Yellow Pages ad of a church near you. It might be somebody inviting you to a Christmas program. It could be anything or everything, my friends. It could be a coworker that's been talking to you for a long time about the things of God. Whatever it may be, all of those things are just like the star that God used in that day to lead the wise men, because he still uses you and me and other things today. So 21st century wise men are men and women just like you and I who seek the Lord, secondly, who see the Lord, and then thirdly, look at your outline, serve the Lord. Look at verse 11 again. They bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense, or incense, your translation may say, and of myrrh. Now, just let's take a sidebar on these three gifts for a second, because it's so easy to go right over them. Gold, frankincense is a more accurate term, and myrrh. These were not trinkets. These were treasures. These were priceless. They were very expensive. They were beyond value, and that's why they brought them. But why these gifts? And of everything that you may say about Disney and some of the bad choices they make as a corporation, I can still remember going to Disney one Christmas in a downtown Disney village, having this huge display talking about the wise men with the baby Jesus and the meaning of the three gifts that I'm going to give you this morning. Now, that's not where I got them. But it was a wonderful thing to see in downtown Disney a display talking about who this baby was in connection with the gifts that they brought. And so these wise men carried these significant gifts because they meant something to them. They were seeking and would see and would serve the Lord, and they specifically brought these things because they were wise, they knew. So first of all, you have the gift of gold. Gold was always a gift that you brought to a king. You can remember when the Queen of Sheba went to visit King Solomon, she brought all this gold, like he needed more. But gold was always a gift that was connected with a king. And so when you went to see a king, you bring gold. Verse 2, notice that. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews. So they knew in coming that he was a king. And that's why in Psalm 21:3 it says, "You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head." So when they brought gold and they laid it at the feet of Jesus, these wise men were saying, "We acknowledge that this baby in this manger is a king." It is an expression of their realization of the dominion that he has. He has sovereign dominion over his people because he is a king. And so we still ask ourselves that question today. Do we recognize his sovereign dominion over our lives? Is he king of my life? Because if he's not, then the Bible says, I am not wise. Look at the second gift, frankincense. Frankincense, a holy ointment. So you say, well, why would this be a special gift? Why would incense, frankincense, it's more like a rock that they burn and releases these wonderful odors. Because the old versions call it frankincense and the modern ones call it incense. But it's a recognition of a sinless deity. Exodus 37 says, frankincense, a special ointment only to be used for God. And so as you study the tabernacle, you study the temple, you know, as you went in towards the most holy of holies, that with the showbread and the candles and always burning incense, frankincense, that they would have this aroma waft up, and it was meant specifically for God, and it was part of the worship of him. So in the very inner sanctum, as part of the worship of the one true and living God, as an expression, a recognition of God, of deity, they would have this frankincense. And so they lay this frankincense at the feet of Jesus Christ, and they're saying, not only is he king, but he is God. These guys were wise. So for them to know that Jesus was a king, king of the Jews, and that Jesus was in fact God, is an incredible fact. And so if he is my king, he deserves my wealth. Still in the 21st century, I lay my gold at my feet, at his feet. And if he is my God, then he deserves my worship. Still in the 21st century. So when they brought gold and they laid it down and they brought frankincense, this holy ointment that was reserved only for the worship of God, placed it at the feet of Jesus Christ, and they were recognizing, they were stating, acknowledging that this baby Jesus is God in human flesh. And again, we have to ask ourselves that question. Is he my God? Is he your God? Is there anything in this life that you love more, that you put in front of, that you serve more than God? Because if you do, then you are saying he is not worthy of my worship. Look at number three. They brought myrrh. A burial ointment, special ointment, a fragrance. They would take these leaves, they would crush them. The more they would crush them, the sweeter it would be. And they brought myrrh. This everyone would recognize it was a burial ointment. Why would you bring a burial ointment to a baby? Symbolic of the fact that they're not only recognizing his sovereign dominion as king, they're not only recognizing the fact that he is God, he is sinless deity, but they are recognizing the fact that he is going to die a sacrificial death, and this burial ointment is stating that. When these men walked into that stable, that house, if you will, with these gifts, and laid this myrrh at his feet, they were acknowledging this baby came to die. In John 19:39. Jesus brings myrrh to the tomb of Jesus. Why? Because when they knelt before Jesus, they were saying then, not only is he our king, not only is he our God, but he is our Savior. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said. So these wise men, in coming to Jesus and bringing these particular gifts, the gift of gold because he is my king and he is worthy of my wealth, and serving him today, the gift of frankincense, because he is my God, he is worthy of my worship still today, the gift of myrrh because he is my Savior and he is worthy of my witness today. You see, it wasn't just a baby in a manger to them. These three wise men who brought these gifts said he is the King of Kings, the Son of God, and the Lord of Lords. And so just like they would have answered, just like Paul challenged us, for me to live is blank. Because if we aren't willing to say, for me to live is Christ, like Paul said, then we aren't being too wise. If we say, you know what, I have followed the ways and the whims and the lies of the world that have been sold to me, and I have allowed other things to take first place and priority in my life, and they have become the center and the circumference of my existence and what motivates me and what I go after and what's in my head and my heart, today I want to say, just as these wise men did, that you kneel at the feet of Jesus, you give him the same three gifts, your gold, your wealth, your frankincense, your worship, your myrrh, your witness. And if you will do that this morning, then you can be a 21st century wise man. Let's pray. Father God, it's an old, old story, and we know this passage well. And yet still today, this message rings out for everyone, especially this time of year. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for how you brought it to us. And we especially thank you for Jesus. He is our King. He is our God. And he died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.